Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're talking about a couple of updates from Elon Musk on the progress of FSD beta and a potential broader rollout timeline. Then we also have reported US auto sales for the month of August, a new Tesla Energy office, a patent that Tesla has filed related to their neural networks, a couple of other things, and then some housekeeping items to wrap up. Pretty boring day for the markets, Tesla finishing down 0.2% to $732.39. The NASDAQ was up 0.1%. Alright, so the big news for today that I'm sure many of you have seen by now is Elon Musk tweeting last night that, quote, FSD Beta 10 rolls out midnight Friday next week, end quote. So very small delay there. Elon had previously said that they were targeting this week for Beta 10, but now that we get closer and closer, hopefully these estimates get better and better. That'll be very exciting for next week if it does drop. Perhaps more exciting than that, though, Elon saying, quote, looks promising that Beta 10.1, about 2 weeks later, will be good enough for public opt-in request button, end quote. So 2 weeks from next Friday, that would be September 24th, that would be the last Friday of Q3, and that button rollout timeline, that would pretty much match what Elon had said last week when he said that his best guess for the public beta button was about 4 weeks. Always good to see those stay consistent. But I do mention that that is the last Friday of Q3 because there might be some financial incentive there for Tesla to roll that out this quarter. When the city streets portion of FSD beta gets wider released, Tesla can recognize a significant portion of their deferred revenue for the FSD feature suite. Tesla expects to recognize over $1 billion from that over the next 12 months. While a beta button wouldn't allow for all of that to be recognized, it could be a pretty significant chunk. That might be part of what's holding Elon's estimate on the button timeline the same, even though beta 10 did get pushed back a week. I know we're all really excited for that. I'm excited for it. Personally, I wouldn't mind if it did slip about one more week, though, so it does fall into Q4. I think Q3, as I've talked about before, is one of Tesla's best opportunities to print really clean financials and show the strength fundamentally of their business. And if they're recognizing a ton of deferred revenue, some of that might get discounted a little bit more than it otherwise would. It's kind of like regulatory credits all over again, right? Tesla has these amazing financials being developed, and all anyone can talk about is these regulatory credits. If Q3's got $500 million in deferred revenue, obviously that'll receive a lot of attention too. It shouldn't be hard to back these things out and figure out what's actually going on, but for some reason, it seems like it is. Anyway, it's a minor point since I don't really care what the stock does after earnings or anything like that, and I don't mind having more time at a suppressed stock price to buy, so I guess it's more about just wanting to have a really clean quarter to point to and say, hey, here it is, here's how strong the business is, very simple. Once we get into Q4, you've got the impacts of hopefully Berlin and Texas ramping up. You've got the year-end push for all businesses, and that can increase logistics costs, lower operating margins. So it's already a little bit weird. If I could pick, just throw the deferred revenue into Q4 then. Anyway, that's tangential and doesn't really matter. So getting back to the point then, Elon did also confirm that Beta 10 is going to have UI improvements over version 9. Then he also responded about timeline for FSD beta in Canada, saying, quote, not sure, but maybe a few months. In general, for any region, we need to make software work well, test it extensively, and then get regulatory approval. If we could go faster while being safe, we would, end quote. He also shared a little bit of insight into how the testing process works for him individually. He says he mostly runs the alpha software in his car, but he shifts to the beta a few days before public release. Could partially explain any last minute shifts there in timing. All right, moving on from the beta then, today we did get August auto sales for the US. Generally not a subject that we talk about, but you may remember that last week we did talk about it because Cathie Wood has brought this up as perhaps evidence that consumers are waiting for EVs or that they may be less willing to buy a gasoline vehicle because they are anticipating the increased hit in depreciation that EVs may cause as they grow in market share. As much as I'd like to believe that, again, I don't think we're at that point yet. I do think it'll happen eventually, but I'm not willing to give consumers quite that much credit. And it seems like this topic has been a little bit divisive from the comments that I've read. So just wanted to continue to kind of keep an eye on this. And it's now back in the fold with the August report. So these are reported on a seasonally adjusted annual rate. So SAAR, basically just an attempt to put the number in a format that is more comparable month to month. But it can also have the effect of making the swings look a little bit larger than they might be in reality. So for August, that light vehicle adjusted rate came in at 13.1 million vehicles versus last August 15.1 million. That's also down from earlier this year where we saw peaks of maybe 17 to 19 million depending on what source you're looking at. Anyway, that puts August down 13% year over year, but a couple critical factors to look at here are inventory supply and average pricing. So for inventory, days of supply are at record lows, just 23 days of supply versus 50 last year. So inventory down 50% One of the very first things an inventory analyst is going to learn is to compare stock to sales. So the change in sales year over year and the change in inventory year over year. So here you've got down 13 on sales, but inventory down 54%. That means you're turning your inventory way, way faster. High turnover is good for many reasons, but to an extent, if it's costing you sales, then the trade-off might not be worth it. So less inventory is going to mean higher turn. It's also going to mean dealers aren't going to be trying as hard to move cars. They're not going to be as willing to negotiate with customers because they don't have this backlog of inventory that they're trying to clear out. And when you have less inventory, well, less of that inventory is going to be unsold. And when inventory is unsold, what you do is you put it on clearance so that someone can finally come in and take it away from you. And customers love getting those clearance deals. So dealers aren't going to negotiate as much. They're not going to put as many vehicles on clearance. All of that is going to result in a higher average selling price on top of just natural price increases. And that effect has definitely been seen. So from Cox Automotive here, they report that August has had the highest new vehicle prices ever, with the average selling price rising to $41,729, up 9% above 2020 and 14% above 2019. That means the average new car sales price has increased $3,500 since last year. That also means that even though unit sales were down about 13%, actual revenue would have only been down about 5% year over year. And again, that's with inventory down 54%. Many of you know that I used to do inventory planning for a Fortune 500 company, and in a rare case where we'd plan a program down that much in inventory, we would never expect flat sales with that kind of stock position. Even if you had a good reason for it, like, oh, we just had two times too much inventory last year, we need to cut it by 50%, you still wouldn't expect flat sales. And you wouldn't plan inventory down that far across the entire company. That would just be for a program or a brand. And here we're talking about inventory down 50% across the industry. I still vividly remember sitting in a room with my executive vice president, senior vice president, going through one of my programs, why my inventory was down, I think it was like 60%, on one of the slowest turnover programs in the entire company. And mind you, this was when one of the company's overarching goals was to increase turnover. So this was how we planned this area of the business. And even then, because the inventory was so low, I had to sit there and explain it to them. And what did we end up doing out of that meeting? Well, we just went and bought more. That was absolutely the wrong decision, but in these types of environments, it's sales above all. There's a lot of short-term thinking, hit the quarterly number, and we'll deal with the repercussions of having extra inventory down the line. These automakers are no different. They're not going to sit there and intentionally plan their business to be down 54% in inventory, even if they should be. I guarantee they're not just sitting there looking at inventory being down 50% and being like, ah, yes, all is going perfectly according to plan. That is absolutely not how businesses like this work, especially if sales are down. They're going to try to solve that sales down problem by throwing inventory in. So when EVs are ready to hit that inflection point, inventory is going to spike. It's not going to decline like we're seeing right now. Last comment I'll make on this is that with that inventory being down 54%, and by the way, it's down even more on a two-year basis, but when inventory is down that much, what you're left with is all the bad stuff. You don't have any of the good stuff that people want. That might be completely sold out. And the rest of the inventory that you do have, well, that's still in inventory because it's the stuff that people don't want as much. So your inventory being down 54%, well, that's covering up that maybe your highly saleable inventory is actually down somewhere 80, 90% in that ballpark. That type of situation is obviously going to affect your sales, plus combining all these other factors that we talked about. So I just don't buy the theory that all of a sudden since peak sales in, I think, April, customers just flipped a switch and got smart about depreciation and the coming impact of EV and autonomous vehicles. It'll happen eventually, but I firmly believe that we're not at that point yet. So like I said, this seems to have been a bit of a divisive topic, so let me know what your thoughts are on that in the comments today. All right, next up here, we've got news of a new Tesla office building. It looks like Tesla has leased a building in North San Jose. Not sure exactly how much space they have here, but looks like Tesla is calling this the Tesla Energy Training Center. So this kind of falls in between Tesla's headquarters over in Palo Alto and the factory over in Fremont, though obviously this is a much smaller scale facility. A lot of other companies in this area, but I did happen to notice that Rivian is pretty much right next door. So that's about all the information that we've got at this point in time, but maybe some of our Bay Area listeners will have a little bit more information on what Tesla's got planned for this space. Next here, and really just flagging this because it is well beyond my depth of understanding, but for those of you that are interested in patents and neural networks, today there was a newly published patent application back from September of 2018 with Andre Karpathy named on the application. This is for systems and methods for obtaining training data. So we've heard Andre talk about how Tesla will collect training data by basically pinging the fleet for certain examples. This patent is describing that process, so if you are interested in learning more about that, I'll put the link to that in the description. Last couple of quick things. Elon today shared some more thoughts on the bot. Somebody asked him why he would warn us about artificial intelligence and then make a robot. Elon saying, quote, "The robots are coming anyway, as Boston Dynamics videos clearly show. I will not be able to ensure that robots made by other companies are safe, but I can try my best to do so at Tesla," end quote. So no surprise there, Elon basically said as much during the question and answer portion of AI Day, and dating back to Elon's involvement with OpenAI, he's never been against the development of AI, he's just argued for the merit of governance around it, and that hopefully it's developed by good people rather than bad people, because inevitably it will be developed. Next, we've got the latest rumors on a possible Apple car. I think you all know how I feel about that, but previously, about a month ago, we had heard that Apple was meeting with suppliers for batteries, potentially in Asia, and now the latest rumor from DigiTimes via Mac Rumors is that Apple is apparently meeting with Toyota to discuss an Apple car project. Given that Toyota can't even seem to cobble together their own successful electric vehicle, nor even really have much interest in doing so, I don't really see much potential for this to come to fruition. Obviously, Toyota has expertise in manufacturing, but that sure doesn't seem to be very advantageous for them in this transition so far. So my thoughts there remain unchanged. All right, last couple of quick things. First, one of our Patreon supporters is looking to get a solar roof in Florida, but they've been calling every single insurance company that they can, and apparently none of them are willing to insure the solar roof, which obviously would be pretty detrimental to the market potential for the product in Florida. So if anyone is in Florida and was able to find insurance, let me know. And then the other Patreon-related thing here is that there are over 200 people that have had, over time, their payments be declined. I'm not really sure how Patreon communicates that, so if you wouldn't mind just checking, making sure your payment information is up to date. Then looking ahead, tomorrow will be an interview episode. I'll be being interviewed on this channel, so looking forward to that. And then Monday, the markets are closed, so I do plan on taking Monday off for the Labor Day holiday. So depending on what's going on, it'll be a couple days before we get back to the news, but in the interim, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. That is it for today, though, so as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications, and I'll see you tomorrow for that Friday, September 3rd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.